Joining us are Fortel Fel Havat, Haran Fel Artel, Hassan Fel Keran, and Amana Fel Aniston. We are... Blessed One, did I see something wrong?
Stavin had taken half a step back when Orlan introduced Amana.
No, I did something wrong several years ago involving a young girl named Amana Zalhalan. The name just caught me by surprise. Blessed One, do you wish me to go?
Amana asked timidly.
No,
Stavin whispered as he shook his head.
No, I am honored by your service. Blessed One, what did...
Amana began to ask, before Orlan silenced her with a gesture.
It's all right, Orlan. She should know. Amana, during my second expedition we rescued Amana Zalhalan from child thieves and returned her to her family. Like me, her grandfather, Shovar Zalhalan, was dragon-blessed. He'd been given a sword by a dragon long before I was born. When Andaria attacked Evandia, I was sent to challenge Shovar, champion to champion, with the fate of the kingdoms in the balance.
Stavin shook his head sadly.
We didn't fight. Shovar yielded to me because... I really don't know why, but when he announced that he wasn't going to fight me, his own general shot him in the back with a crossbow. His last act was to pass the dragon sword to me. But Amana and her father thought I had killed him and stolen the sword.
Stavin paused again and cleared his throat.
During the pacification of Ferindia, I encountered her and her father. When we met, Ambrin demanded the return of the sword, and I complied. Then he cut my cheek with it.
He reached up and touched the golden crescent moon-shaped scar on his cheek.
And the dragon magic flared. They were both burned to death by the magic less than an arm's length in front of me. And I just knelt there and watched.
Stavin wiped a tear from the corner of his eye.
I will never forgive myself for those deaths.
Amana stepped forward a little.
Blessed One, it wasn't your doing.
Yes, it was,
Stavin answered softly.
I should have returned the sword as soon as the war was over, but I wanted it. My lust for that power let the magic change me, and that change was what caused their deaths.
Amana bowed deeply, and Stavin turned toward Orlan.
See to the suite. I prefer my baths very hot. Arrange for someone to see to my guards' needs as well. They don't need much, but they will need a few things.
Orlan answered,
Yes, Blessed One.
Stavin motioned toward Karvik.
Major Kel'Karin is the commander of my guards. Any questions involving them should be directed to him. Now I'm ready for another bath.
Morning found Stavin being dressed in the most elaborate of his clothes. Orlan and Castor spent more than a span twitching his clothing to make sure everything was exactly right. Amana arrived with a cook cart and stood ready for Stavin's desire. As soon as he saw her, he breathed,
Kava! Please, Amana, see you've already prepared Kava.
Amana smiled and bowed.
Of course, Prince Stephen. Do you like anything in it? No, black is fine.
He accepted a cup and sipped, then took another before sighing.
That is very good. I'll have eggs, sausage, and fried tubers.
For me as well. Prepared with his. Karvik added. We mean no disrespect, Amana, but I am required to test his food. King Keelin's personal orders.
Amana gave him an arch look, then bowed and began fixing their morning meals. On the other side of the suite, Hassan Fel'Keran was fixing the morning meals for the rest of the royal guardsmen.
Whose team is the off-going watch?
Stavin asked.
Mine,
Varric answered.
Very well. Sergeant Zelfordan's team eats first, and then goes and gets dressed for court along with Karvik's team. Full dress kit, gentlemen.
22 voices answered, Yes, Prince Stephen. Karvik nodded his approval.
My team already has orders to get ready. We'll leave one man behind to guard the suite while Var and his team sleep.
It took 6 spans to eat and get everyone dressed up for the ceremony, Then Karvik, resplendent in his dress uniform, led the way out of the suite. They had almost retraced their paths all the way to the royal suite when they were met by a squad of 20 Renadian royal guards. All the men and women went to one knee as the lieutenant bowed and said,
"Blessed Prince Stephen of Evandia, we are here to escort you to the court."
Stephen nodded and said,
"Rise, guards, and lead on."
The guards came to their feet almost as one, and then the lieutenant pointed back the way Stephen's party had just come.
"It's back that way, Your Highness."
Stephen looked at Karvik and chuckled, then waved for the Renadian lieutenant to lead the way. The courtroom of the Renadian palace was much bigger than the one back in Twin Bridges. Stephen stood in silence as a herald in a uniform even more elaborate than Karvik's announced him.
"If it pleases your majesties, I am honored to announce His Royal Highness, Dragon-blessed Senior Warmaster Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dorkeelin ne Aniston Zal Andral of Evandia, heir of Karivia, former King of Karivia, blessed of Arendar the Bright, Minister of Trade for Evandia, and Master of the Kel Aniston Trading House."
The court fell silent almost instantly. Then the king and queen stood, forcing everyone to stand with them.
"We welcome Prince Stephen," King Alred said as he looked around, "and honor the blessed of Arendar."
Then he and Queen Alantana went to both knees and bowed their heads. Everyone else in the court was forced to do the same, though Stephen was certain that many of the lords and ladies would have rather spit in his face than honor Arendar. Stephen walked the length of the room and bowed deeply once he reached the dais.
"I thank you for your greeting, King Alred and Queen Alantana, and I am honored. Rise now and let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your souls."
The sound of more than 100 people sighing, some in reverence, others in exasperation, swept through the room as the queen and king returned to their thrones. King Alred raised one finger, and 10 men and women came forward, stopping to bow to the king and queen, then again to Stephen. King Alred spoke once everyone was standing again.
"Prince Stephen, an acknowledgment of your status as the blessed of Arendar, the high priests and priestesses of the gods above and the gods below have joined us. The first is the high priest of Arendar, Thanal Zelmestan."
The king paused as an elderly man stepped forward to bow. He shot a quick glance at the dais, then stepped back. Stephen returned the bow with a deep bow of his own, but didn't say anything. The king shifted his attention to the other side of the group.
"Of equal importance is the high priest of Eshokanal, Meral Zel Ravel."
To the obvious surprise of many people, the king included, Stephen bowed to Eshokanal's high priest as deeply as he had to Arendar's. The introductions continued in the same pattern. The king introduced the High Priestess of Sarana, Berinda Zelkorvan, and the High Priestess of Ravashanal, Helena Zelkordan, the High Priest of Alankara, Naral Zelkupran, the High Priest of Omalaha, Gregan Zelwinton, the High Priestess of Mariniva, Amelie Zelrestan, the High Priestess of Nokavala, Karisan Zelastan, the High Priestess of Ordenda Shandarum, Arnon Zelhavenlock, and finally the High Priest of Kaysander Shandarum, Nestor Zelkurinal. Stephen returned every bow just as deeply as the first. When the introductions were done, Stephen addressed the group.
"I am pleased to meet you all. My time in Rhea is limited, and there are many people and tasks that absolutely must command my attention. For that reason, I would prefer to meet with you all as a group rather than individually. Be aware, however, that there are many things I do not know about my blessing and Arendar's plans for the future."
Tharnal Zelmestan took half a step forward and said,
"That is unacceptable. You must be available to us for rigorous testing and questioning as to your fitness to claim Arendar's blessing."
Stephen shook his head.
"No. If you wish to question Arendar's decision, I suggest you do so in your own temple. I will set aside a short time to meet with all of you and discuss the implications of my blessing and what I've learned and surmised about the gods above and below, but it will not be more than 12 spans.
This is intolerable,
the high priest shouted, then turned toward the dais and pointed one hand at Stavin as he snapped,
Your Majesties, I demand this man be delivered to the Temple of Arendar at once.
Queen Alantana leaned forward and snapped back,
No! Prince Stephen is an honored visitor, a scion of Evandia's Zel'Andral dynasty, a scion of Karivia's Zel'Darvin dynasty, and the current heir to the throne of Karivia. Now get back in your place, Thanal, before I have you escorted out of the palace.
Tana!
You will address me as Queen Alantana, or Your Majesty, or you'll be begging forgiveness from the dungeon.
Thanal Zelmestan, High Priest of Arendar the Bright, bowed to his cousin before silently returning to his place. The expression on his face was a mixture of surprise warring with tightly suppressed anger. The assorted priests and priestesses bowed together and filed out of the court. Queen Alantana had left them no other recourse. Stavin met the eye of each of them, but didn't feel anything odd. Not even from Eshokanal and Ravashanal's priests. The king spoke, breaking Stavin's concentration.
Our apologies, Prince Stephen.
Stavin bowed deeply.
I took no offense, King Alred.
You are a remarkably tolerant man, Prince Stephen. Tonight we will be having a banquet in your honor. For the rest of the day, I invite you to join my council for the purpose of discussing trade.
Stavin bowed deeply before answering,
I would be honored, King Alred.
A well-dressed man came to Stavin's side and bowed.
Prince Stephen, I am Minister of Trade Castor Brandan Forsin Zelnardat,
he said as he smiled down at him.
I would be honored to escort you to the council chamber.
Stavin bowed his head and took a step.
Thank you, Minister Zelnardat. We shouldn't keep the king waiting.
Minister Zelnardat nodded as he turned to keep pace with Stavin.
Indeed, Prince Stephen.
The walk was a short one, and Stavin was nodding as they walked.
This palace is almost identical to the Luxandian palace.
Indeed, Prince Stephen. As you probably know, Renidia was the first province added to the empire. Emperor Kaldan Zel'Leponal ordered an exact replica of his palace in Lux built here.
He chuckled and grinned at Stavin.
Supposedly it was so he'd never get lost sneaking off to his mistress's quarters when he was drunk.
Stavin grinned and chuckled in return.
I've heard similar stories concerning the other palaces. Every palace I visited has had similar layouts. I've only been to Lux, Zelnardat commented. Perhaps I'll have the chance to visit you and Twin Bridges, if we come to an agreement on trade.
I hope that is possible,
Stavin agreed with a smile, just as they reached the council chamber doors. Stavin looked over his shoulder and said,
Major Kilcarin, post your men.
Karvik replied, Yes, Your Highness,
and pointed to both sides of the hall. His men split off and took up guard positions to protect their prince, facing the Renadian royal guards who were posted to protect their king and queen. The council chamber was almost exactly the same as the one in Twin Bridges, the only difference being in the furnishings. Where King Kaelin kept his council chamber furnishings plain and utilitarian, King Alred had chosen elaborate furniture that looked Cornadian in design. Stavin automatically moved to the chair closest to the door, the one exactly opposite the king's chair. He remained standing as the ministers of the king's council sorted themselves out. King Alred and Queen Alantana entered the room, and Stavin bowed with the rest of the council. The king sat first, then the queen. At the king's nod, Stavin took his seat. Only after Stavin was seated did the king signal his ministers to take their seats. King Alred nodded to Stavin before saying,
If you would care to begin, Prince Stephen.
Stavin stood and bowed to the king before speaking.
King Alred, Queen Alantana, Honored ministers, I am pleased and honored to address you today. There is very little trade between our kingdoms, and that is a situation we, King Caelan as well as the Evandian Traders Guild, would like to remedy. The greatest impediment to trade is the distance, which we can do nothing about. Nearly as great are the taxes each of us charge the other's traders. That we can address.
Stephen paused to look at the ministers, then returned his attention to the king.
King Caelan proposes, and the Evandian Traders Guild endorses, a reduction of the tax to one half of its current 5%. As a member of the Aravad Traders Council, I am aware of your favoured traders' agreement with them. I was the one who proposed a similar arrangement between Evandia and the Aravad Traders Council.
He paused again and looked Minister Zelnardat in the eye for an instant. Minister of Trade Zelnardat stood, and Stephen sat to relinquish the floor to him.
Prince Stephen, the agreement between Renedia and Aravad is very limited. The greatest impediment to trade isn't the distance so much as Cavadia itself and the southern kingdoms between us. The taxes in Caravia and Luxandia combine to a total of 10%. Cavadia, while there is no tax on trade, is the haunt of bandits and thieves, the likes of which no other kingdom holds.
Stephen stood and nodded.
All true. However, now that we are all thinking along the same lines, I have a second proposal. The Aravad Traders Council and the Cavadian Traders Guild have reached an agreement to encourage trade. What they are proposing is that they hire mercenaries, or build an army of guild guardsmen, and clean out those bandits.
He looked around and noted the looks of surprise on the ministers' faces.
The Cavadian traders are, in essence, proposing that they become a real government, with all of the attendant rights and responsibilities of the king and council in their hands. They would turn Cavadia back into a... well, kingdom isn't the right word, is it? I suppose they'll think of something to call themselves. Anyway, they would return some semblance of order to the former kingdom. What's the catch?
Queen Alantana asked without standing. Stephen bowed to the queen before replying,
They are going to start taxing trade.
What? One of the ministers snapped as he stood. Cavadia has never taxed trade.
Stephen stood calmly until the man sat.
The kingdom of Cavadia did. When the empire fragmented and everyone went their own way, Cavadia, like Renedia and the other kingdoms, established a 5% tax on goods entering their territory. It was only after their kingdom fell apart, 227 years later, that the kingdom's tax went away, only to be replaced by local warlords and bandit kings demanding tribute.
Are you Evandia's Minister of Trade or Cavadia's?
A woman asked in a jovial tone, only to be silenced by the king.
Shut your fool mouth, Linus.
The woman looked at the king with wide eyes, then said,
But King Al, shut up, Linus!
Queen Alantana snapped, her eyes blazing in fury.
You will not embarrass us today.
King Alred stood and faced Stephen.
Our apologies, Prince Stephen. My minister of culture sometimes forgets her manners.
Stephen bowed and replied,
I take no offence, King Alred.
Turning slightly, he bowed his head to the woman.
I am Evandia's Minister of Trade, as well as a master trader in Evandia, Cavadia, Caravia, Luxandia, and now in Renedia. Evandia has already agreed to these proposals with Cavadia, and Caravia is considering them. As Evandia's Minister of Trade, it is my duty to make proposals that will benefit my kingdom. If they also benefit other kingdoms, or whatever Cavadia eventually decides to call itself, then that is an added bonus.
Stephen smiled as he looked around the room.
An added bonus for all of us would be security. Renedia is second only to Caravia in the size of its border with Cavadia. Evandia's border with Cavadia is only about one-third of Renedia's.
An older man stood and waited for Stephen to sit before speaking.
Prince Stephen. I am Lord General Glanzelpestra. Aside from the traitors controlling their own roads for a change, what benefit is there? Much of the border is wilderness.
The general sat, and Stephen stood to answer.
Lord General Zelpestra, that is a question I cannot answer. The Cavadian Traders Guild has instituted a new policy that might work. All goods must have a valid bill of sale to be sold in Cavadia. What we have seen in the West has been a lot of bandits being captured and put out of business when they've tried to sell their stolen goods.
The general nodded, but he appeared to be lost in thought. Stephen waited patiently until the general looked him in the eye again.
We would have to maintain the border forts for quite some time, but eventually we'd be able to scale them back.
Turning to the king, he bowed his head deeply.
While I can see the Traders' Guild being inconvenienced by this, the rest of Renidia, and especially the Cavadian border area, will benefit immensely.
The king nodded as he looked around, but not all of the ministers seemed to like the idea. None of them were incautious enough to openly disagree with something the king approved of, but the blank expressions some of them wore were just as eloquent. Queen Alantana stood, and the general immediately yielded to her.
"Prince Stephen," she began with a tender smile, "now that the business of trade has been discussed, I would like to open the discussion to your ascension as the Blessed of Arendar."
Stephen stood and bowed to the queen, then said,
"I am at your service, Your Majesty."
The discussion was a familiar one. Stephen told the story as it really happened, and politely corrected the misconceptions that were based on minstrels' tales. He answered every question he was asked, though several of the ministers refused to accept, "I don't know," as an answer until the king said,
"The gods keep their own counsel, and it is not for mortal man to question their motives."
That well-known quote, one so old that its origins were lost to the mists of time, ended the discussion. That, plus the angry glare the king was directing at several of his ministers. Stephen managed not to grin as he looked around.
"Glad he's not looking at me like that. He reminds me of Barville on the practice ground."
Chapter 18. A knock at the door was answered, and a servant took one step into the room and bowed.
"My lord king, as you instructed, the midday meal is prepared and awaits your pleasure."
"Good," the king said as he clapped his hands. "I'm hungry."
The king stood and everyone stood with him, waiting in their places until he and the queen had walked around the room to the door. Queen Alantana smiled and said,
"Walk with us, Prince Stephen."
Stephen bowed deeply, then stepped forward to walk at the queen's right hand.
King Alred spoke without looking at Stephen. "My staff had a few words with your guardsmen, Stephen, and my cooks have made an effort to fix your favorite dishes."
Stephen replied, "Thank you, Your Majesty," without breaking stride, not bothering to tell the king that his favorite dishes were anything he didn't have to cook himself. His guardsmen had probably just given the servants their own favorites, knowing that Stephen would eat just about anything. The dining hall was as ornate as any Stephen had seen. The roof beams were bare and had been ornately carved to depict scenes from Renadia's history. The walls, the height of 3 normal rooms, were decorated with frescoes and reliefs. The dining hall was dominated by a raised platform with a single long table that stretched across the room. The lower portion of the room was filled with 10 long tables, surrounded by ornately carved and luxuriously padded chairs. Queen Alantana noticed Stephen's intense scanning of the room and smiled. She whispered,
"You seem impressed, Stephen."
"I am, Your Majesty," Stephen whispered back. "I've never seen a dining hall that was anywhere near this impressive, not even in the Imperial Palace of Luxand."
"That, my young friend, is exactly why my ancestors had this built,"
King Alred whispered. The room was already full of far more than 100 people, and they all fell silent when a herald banged his staff on the floor.
Their Majesties, King Alred and Queen Alantana, thank you for joining them, and ask that you greet their guest. His Royal Highness, Dragon-Blessed Senior Warmaster, Prince Stephen Markan Carvan Dokeelin, ne Aniston Zalandral Vivandia, Heir of Caerivia, former King of Caerivia, Blessed of Arendar the Bright, Minister of Trade for Evandia, and Master of the Kil'Aniston Trading House.
Almost as one, everyone in the room bowed deeply. Stephen bowed slightly in return, then followed the king to the table.
On my right, please, Stephen, King Alred murmured. Jer and Kira will move donor seat.
Stephen acknowledged the request with a bow and looked at the table. The king's seat was obvious, and the seat beside it was empty. Prince Jerlan was already in the next seat, and he winked at Stephen, then glanced at the empty chair. Stephen couldn't help grinning back. Once everyone was in place, King Alred addressed the crowd.
We are honored by the presence of the Blessed of Arendar, Prince Stephen of Evandia. He will be with us for just a short time, but he has assured us that he will make what time he may available to speak to those who desire an audience.
With that, he took his seat, with Queen Alantana just a heartbeat behind him. Orlan came forward and seated Stephen as the senior servants seated everyone else. Stephen was hyper-aware of everything in the room, and he felt the familiar, warm and comforting presence of Arendar. There was another presence as well, one he could not identify but made his stomach flutter all the same. Fear, like he'd felt facing Barville when he asked for Davina the first time, brought his shoulders forward. His eyes darted around the room until he saw a woman staring at him. Her face was beautiful, and her body everything a man could desire, but her eyes repelled him. Stephen felt his lips form the words, "I know you," though no sound accompanied the motion. The woman looked startled for an instant, then looked away. Stephen felt the fear dissipate all at once, and a wry smile twisted his lips.
"Lovely, isn't she?"
Stephen whipped his head around to find Prince Jerlan grinning at him.
"I beg your pardon, Prince Jerlan?" "Lady Servalan,"
the prince replied with a grin.
"I saw you two lock eyes. She's from the Western Mountains. Word is that she's unattached."
The prince's grin was suggestive, but Stephen shook his head.
"I am attached." "No one would know."
Stephen shook his head.
"I would know. That's enough."
Now Prince Jerlan's expression became puzzled.
"Are you telling me that you haven't availed yourself of a willing young companion this entire trip?"
Stephen pulled back a little.
"Of course not. That would be dishonorable."
"Jerry?"
The king's voice intruded in a tone that carried a note of warning.
"Yes, father?"
The prince replied in a subdued tone and turned toward his wife. Stephen turned toward the king and found him glaring at Prince Jerlan. Stephen bowed his head and said,
"Your Majesty."
The king actually blushed a little as he said,
"It has become a game among the youth to try and compromise people."
Stephen shook his head slowly.
"It won't work with me or my men. Besides, your Lady Servalan wouldn't be my choice even if I was single."
Queen Alantana looked around her husband and asked,
"Why ever not? She's lovely."
Stephen grinned and replied,
"She's too tall."
The queen giggled like a schoolgirl, while the king chuckled and shook his head.
"That's a new one,"
the king murmured. Stephen shook his head again.
"From the looks of it, she's a head taller than Shari, and Shari's a head taller than me." "Poor Stephen,"
the queen giggled.
"You'd have to look up between her breasts."
The arrival of the first course stopped the king from saying anything else. The selection was amazing, and the food superb. Stephen ate a small portion of almost all of the dishes, with Karvik hovering at his shoulder. The king's food taster sampled every dish first, and then the king was served. The queen was served next, but the king had Stavin served before the crown prince and the rest of the royal family. Prince Jerlan took it in stride, so Stavin did so as well. As the meal was coming to a close, a group of nobles came forward and bowed to the king.
"King Alred, we request permission to question the blessed of Arendar,"
the apparent leader asked. King Alred looked the man in the eye, then scanned the rest of the group. "No," was his only reply.
"King Alred, please reconsider,"
the leader of the group asked in a tone of forced courtesy.
"The appearance of Arendar's avatar is unprecedented in all of our history. Such an occurrence must be thoroughly documented."
Stavin glanced at the king, then asked the man,
"Who are you, good sir?"
The man looked startled for an instant, as if surprised that anyone wouldn't recognize him.
"I am Master Scholar Vartal Zelmelan, Dean of the Royal Renidian University in Rheon the Glimmer."
Lady Ava was on the other side of the queen, and now she sat forward and said,
"Mind your manners, Vartal,"
in a dangerous tone. The dean looked at her with a puzzled expression, and she continued in a more moderate tone.
"In addition to being the blessed of Arendar, he's a prince of Evandia and Kerevia, as well as being the former king of Kerevia and the current heir apparent. Your birth and position do not place you above him in any way."
The dean looked even more startled at that. Before the dean could embarrass himself further, Stavin intervened by asking,
"Is Darnav Zeltamal with your group?"
"He is not,"
the dean replied in a huffy tone as his face reddened.
"Eva told you to watch your manners, Vartal," the king snapped. "If you are discourteous to Prince Stephen again, I'll have you removed from the palace, and the university as well."
The dean looked at his king as his face drained of color. He whispered,
"Yes, your majesty."
Stephen bowed his head to the king, then addressed the dean again.
"Please ask him to visit me in my suite tomorrow night."
Now the dean looked offended.
"Scholar Zeltamal is not considered an authority on the gods. In spite of his theories and self-proclaimed accomplishments, Prince Stephen."
"That's not what I asked, Dean Zelmelan,"
Stavin replied in a low tone.
"I asked you to invite him to visit me tomorrow night. But no matter. If you can't manage that small courtesy, I'll send one of my guardsmen, the heir of Zelkarin, perhaps, to issue the invitation."
Eldik stepped closer to Stavin's chair and glared at the scholars. The dean looked stunned as Stavin looked down the table and said,
"Prince Killian, as you are a student of Master Scholar Zeltamal, I extend this invitation to you as well."
Turning back to the uncomfortable-looking scholars in front of the table, he concluded his verbal torturing of the dean by saying,
"I can tell you now that the majority of Master Scholar Zeltamal's theories are absolutely correct."
That's not what is written in the—"
the dean began to protest, but Stavin cut him off in mid-protest.
"What is written and what is accepted dogma is for priests, Dean Zelmelan. Scholars must keep an open mind in order to accommodate and integrate new information."
Stavin looked around the room and saw many nobles nodding their agreement, including Lady Servalan. Turning back to the king, Stavin bowed his head.
"Your Majesty, I don't believe anything constructive can be accomplished by continuing this discussion."
King Alred nodded and replied,
"I believe you are correct, Prince Stephen."
Turning to the scholars, he waved his hand in a dismissive gesture. "You may go." The dean looked like he wanted to protest the dismissal, but two royal guardsmen walked up and escorted him away. Stephen looked at the king and bowed his head.
"Your Majesty, the invitation is, of course, extended to the entire royal family, but I believe we covered everything last night."
King Alred nodded.
"The invitation is appreciated, Prince Stephen,
but we'll let Killian and the scholar have you to themselves.
Don't leave me out, Lady Ava interjected.
Stavin bowed as the king sighed in exasperation. Stavin grinned as he said,
You are always welcome, Lady Ava. I'd better be, she murmured.
The king concluded the meal, and Stavin returned to his suite. Karvik was at his shoulder and said,
That Lady Servalan sure is something to look at.
Look, but not touch,
Stavin agreed.
Oh?
Stavin said,
I'm pretty sure she's the blessed of Ravashanal,
without looking up at Karvik. Karvik's feet got tangled for an instant, and he grasped Stavin's shoulder.
You must be joking, he muttered. The way she looks.
Stavin nodded and described what really happened when he locked eyes with the ever-so-lovely Servalan.
She's why I'm here.
Karvik demanded, Why didn't you tell the king?
Because I have no proof beyond how I feel, what Arendar made me feel, and what I felt before Arendar stepped in.
Karvik took several deep breaths.
What are you going to do?
The only thing I can do, Kar, wait until she makes a move against me that I can prove to the king, and be prepared for when she does.
Chapter 19 The rest of the day was Stavin's to do with as he pleased, so he asked, Does anyone know where my traders are staying? Looks were exchanged all around, but no one answered.
Does anyone know where the Royal Guard's barracks is?
This time a guardsman stepped forward.
Yes, Your Highness.
Take a hand of men with you and go find that private. What was her name?
Stavin asked in a distracted tone.
Zell Freelan, Karvik answered.
That's it, Stavin agreed. Go find Private Zell Freelan and find out where the traders are staying, and while you're at it, find out where the guild offices are as well.
The guardsman bowed and said, Yes, Prince Stavin, then turned away. Four other guardsmen followed him. It took five spans for the guardsmen to return. Ferelan and the rest of the traders were with them. Stavin smiled as he stood and walked toward the door.
Is everything ready?
Ferelan bowed and replied,
Yes, Prince Stavin. Good,
Stavin said, as he clapped his hands and rubbed them together.
Let's go to the guild offices and get you credentialed. Have you made any progress as far as wagons and teams?
Ferelan bowed slightly and said,
Yes, Prince Stavin. A master trader's wagon is going to be 35 gold crowns.
Stavin exclaimed,
Gods above!
Ferelan nodded and spoke in a sour tone as she said,
Welcome to Re. Everything is more expensive here. That's ridiculous, Stavin muttered. But I don't see a choice.
One of the other masters, a former caravan guard, grumbled,
We should just go home and buy from the cousins.
Stavin looked at Ferelan and she nodded.
We can get better wagons in Aniston at a much better price, Prince Stavin, and he's right about keeping it in the family.
Stavin sighed and shook his head, then finally nodded.
We'll get your credentials today, and you can head out tomorrow.
All of the traders bowed, then Ferelan said,
As you wish, Prince Stavin.
Stavin headed toward the door, and everyone fell into line behind him. The path out of the palace was clear, but as soon as they walked out the gates, they were surrounded by thousands of people. It took a while for the people to realize who they were seeing. Then the shouts began. People cried out, Blessed One! And Avatar! All around them, and the guards moved to surround Stavin. He smiled and waved to the crowd, but Karvik and Varric knew him well enough to realize how tense he really was. When they reached the headquarters of the Renadian Traders Guild, Stavin put his vest on. As they walked forward, they found three ornately dressed people waiting for them. Two older men bracketed a very old woman, and she was smiling broadly as she bowed.
Blessed of Arendar,
Dragon-blessed Senior War Master Prince Stephen Zel'Andral, Master Trader, Master of Host Kalaniston, we welcome you to the Renedian Traders Guild. I am Senior Master Trader Cherryfell Ankal. With me are Senior Master Trader Gerald Belkovat and Senior Master Trader Terrell Fel Orvan.
Each of the men bowed when they were introduced. Stavin bowed slightly in acknowledgement.
Greetings, councillors. I am here to establish my house in Renedia and post bond on 8 new master traders to handle my caravans.
The councillors all bowed, and Senior Master Fel Ankal smiled at him.
We received word from Host Zel'Arniston that you would be approaching us, Prince Stephen. Are your master candidates present?
Farallan led the 7 other candidates forward. Sherry looked at each of them, then asked,
Do you have your 100 crown bonds?
As one of the candidates bowed.
Master Mage Kelbortan, provide these men and women with their credentials.
A tall, skeletally thin man came forward and bowed to the councillors, then more deeply to Stephen. A much younger woman at his side was carrying an armful of vests. The mage nodded and said,
Each of you take a vest and put it on, please.
Once everyone was ready, he placed his hands on Farallan's chest and intoned the spell that changed the plain leather vest into Master Trader's credentials. The process was repeated for each of them. Then the mage and his assistant turned and walked away. Farallan was stroking the golden dragon on her vest as she turned and smiled at Stavin. He waved her closer and handed her all 8 drafts. Without a word, she took the drafts and presented them to the council. Senior Master Fel Ankal bowed to Stavin.
We welcome Host Kel'Arniston and its masters to the Renedian Traders Guild.
There was a scattering of subdued cheers from around them as Stavin bowed his head in acknowledgement. Stavin waved Farallan over to his side again.
Take everyone back to the inn and have a good night. Things are probably going to get interesting soon, so it's a good thing you're leaving. How full is that purse?
Farallan bowed, then said,
Lodgings and food for the 16 of us cost 8 silvers a night, Prince Stephen.
Stephen nodded and pulled out his pouch. He poured the coins out in his hand and started picking through the silver and gold.
Here are 20 additional gold crowns and 37 silvers. Give what you don't spend to Roavan and Verilan, and keep a ledger. You're officially part of Host Kel'Arniston now, and your expenses are part of the Host account.
Farallan and all the traders and guards bowed deeply, then she led them away.
Interesting, Karthik asked as he looked at Stavin. That's an understatement.
Stavin nodded as he said,
Unfortunately,
in a sour tone. The walk back to the palace was uneventful. That ended when they reached the suite. Varric met them at the door.
Steve, a very tall woman stopped by and seemed like she was ready to rip my head off when I told her you weren't here, and left in a towering rage when I refused to tell her where you'd gone.
Blonde, about your height?
Stavin asked as he looked up at Varric's face.
Yes, Varric replied as he nodded. I was really surprised.
Stavin turned toward Karvik and said,
Sir Valan.
I wonder what she wanted,
Karvik asked as he stroked his chin.
There's no telling, Kar. It could be anything.
The butlers approached Stavin not long after that and bowed.
Prince Stephen,
Orlan said as he straightened,
we have sorted your clothing and laid out an appropriate outfit for the banquet tonight.
Amarna bowed again and said,
With your permission, Prince Stephen, I would like to trim your hair.
Stavin reached up and combed his fingers through his hair, then nodded. Amarna smiled and bowed again, then motioned to a chair.
Please sit here.
Stavin sat in the indicated chair and held still. Amarna was busy with the outside of his head, so he let his mind wander.
What could Servalan have wanted?
I know who and what she is just as surely she knows who and what I am. She couldn't have thought I'd played bed games with Ravishanal's avatar. Maybe she was just trying to get a feel for me, for how strong I really am. He kept mulling over the same thoughts until Amarna stepped back and said,
"I believe that will do, Prince Stephen."
Stavin glanced at Karvik, and he nodded his approval.
"She's better than Aaron, Steve."
Stavin nodded, then stood and headed for the bathing room. All the butlers followed him while the matrons cleaned up the suite. It took 6 spans before Stavin was cleaned and dressed to the butler's satisfaction. Karvik nodded his approval as he looked Stavin over.
"Very nice."
Stavin nodded and grinned.
"I think Marina would actually be impressed by this one."
Karvik chuckled and moved close enough to whisper.
"The matrons collected your hair and divided it. I think they're keeping it."
"Why?"
Stavin whispered back.
"Relics of Arendar's avatar."
Stavin shook his head slowly.
"Gods above, Kar, that's so embarrassing."
Karvik chuckled as he stepped back.
"Serves you right."
Stavin shook his head as a wry grin crossed his lips.
"Probably."
The guards who were going to accompany Stavin to the banquet had cleaned up and put on their dress uniforms, while Stavin was being fussed over, and now they formed up around him. Stavin nodded to Karvik, and he ordered,
"Forward march!"
They made it back to the banquet hall without any missed turns, and Stavin stopped to admire the decorations for a moment. He whispered,
"Magnificent,"
as he turned in a complete circle. It was the only word that came to mind as he looked around. Karvik was gawking like a yokel.
"Incredible, Steve,"
he murmured as his head swiveled.
"This is absolutely incredible."
The banquet hall was festooned with garlands of flowers, bright ribbons of silk, and bouquets of flowers in every niche. Festival lights cast pools of color, and tiny mirrored triangles below each of them sent colored shafts of light throughout the room.
"Do you like it?"
Princess Kalisen asked, in a happy tone as she walked up to Stavin. Stavin grinned at her bubbly enthusiasm.
"I've never seen anything like it, Your Highness,"
Stavin replied, warning Karvik and the rest of the guardsmen who they were dealing with. Princess Kalisen giggled happily and hurried away.
"That's Princess Kalisen, the youngest of the princesses,"
Stavin said for the benefit of his guardsmen.
"Let's walk around a bit."
Chapter 20 Stavin strolled around the room, pausing to admire the decorations on occasion. People bowed as he passed, and he made a point of returning those bows no matter who they were from. Then they encountered someone who didn't bow.
"You think you know me, blessed of Arendar?"
Lady Servalan asked as she stepped out to block his path.
Stavin answered, "I know you, blessed of Ravishanal."
Her lips twisted into something that approximated a smile.
"Perhaps you know my mistress, but you know nothing of me."
Stavin looked up at her face, then glanced at Karvik. Kar was actually having to look up at her. Stavin whispered,
"I know enough,"
as a tight smile pulled his lips thin. Servalan laughed merrily.
"You know nothing. You wouldn't be so sure of yourself if you did."
With that, she turned and sauntered away.
"That rude little—"
one of the guardsmen began, but Stavin raised a hand to stop him.
"She's beating me, us, but we will not rise to the beat. I know some of you are single, but don't let her get you alone. Ravishanal and her followers are not to be trusted or trifled with,"
Karvik added.
"And I don't think Servalan is the only one. Any woman here could be in the service of the gods below, so don't fraternize at all."
There was a little grumbling from the single men, but the royal guards were known for their discipline. Stavin began strolling around again, finally making his way back to the king's table. He was met by a broadly smiling Princess Alankira.
"Well, Cousin Stephen, what do you think?"
Stephen replied, "It's amazing, Cousin Kira," and almost chuckled at her bright grin at his chosen form of address.
"I am so glad you accept me as a cousin,"
she continued in a tender tone. "Arendar's letter said you would." Stephen bowed slightly.
"Lord Arendar was the one who started calling me cousin, and by the time I left, almost all of the Zell Anistons and Kel Anistons were calling me that. The ones who spoke to me, at least. Too many of them just bowed and stayed silent.
What of the lower castes?"
Stephen rolled his eyes and grinned.
"Lady Serana would have popped her cork."
That reduced Princess Alankira to incoherent giggles for a moment.
"Aunt Sara has a very proper attitude toward the lower castes, but I get the impression you don't. I grew up a warrior and spent my first years out at the valley surrounded by members of every caste. I'm used to them."
Princess Alankira grinned and wrinkled her nose.
"Daddy let me be friends with whoever I wanted. My best friend when I was growing up was Mardis del Kerval."
Stephen laughed.
"And where is she now?" "Married to a farmer. She has 9 kids."
Stephen laughed again.
"That'll keep her busy."
Princess Alankira nodded.
"Her oldest is 2 years older than Mari, and her youngest is 2 years younger than Darren. We've kept in touch, though we haven't been together in 17 years. Alred and Tana aren't as tolerant as Mum and Dad."
"Keelin isn't either," Stephen grumbled.
"Speaking of Alred, here he comes,"
Princess Alankira whispered, and Stephen turned to find the king and queen walking toward him. Stephen bowed deeply when the royal couple was 3 paces away.
"Good evening, your majesties."
King Alred bowed his head slightly and replied, "Good evening, Prince Stephen." Queen Alatana wasn't so formal.
"You two seem to be having an amusing conversation,"
she said, focusing her attention on Princess Alankira.
"Cousin Stephen and I were just comparing notes about our younger years, before we became part of the royal families."
King Alred tilted his head to the side as he looked at Stephen.
"Cousin Stephen, is it? Serana Zelaniston's influence?"
he asked, looking Stephen in the eye. Stephen grinned and bowed slightly.
"Not at first, your majesty. Arendar Zelaniston started it, then Mareneva. Lady Serana joined in when she finally got over the shock of hearing Mareneva address me as cousin at the morning meal."
The king tilted his head to the side and grinned at Princess Alankira.
"Your aunt's family has never been proper."
Princess Alankira giggled, while Stephen said,
"Your majesty, I believe they'd take that as a compliment."
"Probably,"
the king replied with a laugh.
"Definitely,"
Lady Ava said, as she stopped beside her brother.
"Sara was absolutely outrageous when we were children."
"You were just as bad," her big brother commented sourly.
Lady Ava just grinned up at him for an instant, then turned her attention back to Stephen.
"What do you think?"
she asked, as she waved toward the room.
"Magnificent! I've never seen anything like it."
King Alred bowed his head slightly.
"Thank you, Prince Stephen. My staff has been planning this since we first received notice that you were coming."
"Your Majesty, I am truly impressed,"
Stephen said with a bow.
"You've far outdone both Caravia and Luxandia."
"Really?"
Queen Alantana asked with a bright smile.
"But you were Caravia's king for a time. Didn't they honor you with a celebration?"
Stephen smiled as he bowed.
"Yes, Your Majesty, they did. But compared to this,"
he paused to wave his hand at the room in general,
"it was almost subdued. Whoever planned these decorations is very talented and has exquisite taste."
Princess Alankira hugged Stephen's arm and said,
"Please tell Killian that when he arrives.
He is our designer, with a little help from his girlfriend.
Stavin smiled up at her and nodded. It wasn't long before the younger royals joined them, and Stavin was able to repeat his compliment directly to the younger prince. Prince Killian flushed with pride and bowed deeply.
Thank you, Prince Stephen. Sarin and I spent several days drawing out and trying different designs for this celebration.
Stavin grinned.
Your girlfriend is named Sarin, after the goddess.
Prince Killian bowed slightly and replied,
Yes,
in a cautious tone. Stavin grinned as he said,
So is my oldest daughter, in an indirect way.
Really? The prince asked with a wide grin.
In an indirect way, yes,
Stavin responded with an equally wide grin.
Sarin is the older of my twins by about half a span. Sari was named after Master Trader Sarin Kelvandar and the Kavadian House of Zelvandar. Master Trader Sarin led my first two caravans and mentored me in trade when I showed an interest. Master Sarin was named for the goddess Sarin. Her worship is dominant in that portion of Kavadia.
I didn't know that, King Alred rumbled. What does Arendar think of Lady Sarin?
Stavin shrugged.
As far as I've been able to tell, Your Majesty, he doesn't. Where the mention of the other elder gods elicits a response, positive or negative, Sarin, Lebowan, and the other younger gods seem to be meaningless to him.
The king grinned and murmured,
I wish my brother had heard that.
Queen Alantana chuckled.
You can tell him later. Now you have a celebration to preside over.
Indeed,
the king agreed, then motioned toward the table.
Shall we?
Stavin was again at the king's right hand, and the rest of the people in the room quickly moved to their seats when they saw the royal family take their places. When most of the people were in their places, the king sat. Stavin was amused to see Lady Servalan striding across the room, very conspicuously late. Prince Jolan saw the direction of his gaze and chuckled.
She does draw the eye, doesn't she? As she no doubt intended,
Stavin muttered.
What do you mean?
Stavin looked the older prince in the eye as he said,
She's been drifting around the room since before we arrived, and I saw her near her seat a moment ago. She was intentionally one of the last nobles to take her seat.
Prince Jerlan tilted his head to the side as he asked,
Why?
Stavin nodded toward the room.
To draw attention to herself. She's like a Dariman bird.
When the prince looked puzzled, he explained,
The Dariman bird is native to Avandia's southwestern coast. Where the peacock male is the fancy one, it's the Dariman female that shows off. They're usually red, orange and gold, and make a spectacle of themselves when they are trying to attract a mate. We have another name for women like that, Cousin Stephen,
Princess Alankira said in an angry tone around the crown prince. Looking at her husband, she continued,
As for you, eyes front.
Prince Jolan smiled sheepishly, but his eyes focused elsewhere. There was a sound from Stavin's other side, but when he looked around, he couldn't tell which of the elders had made it. Queen Alantana smiled at Stavin and whispered,
I'm glad you see her for what she really is.
Stavin's smile twisted bitterly for an instant before he replied,
There's one in every court, Your Majesty. Seldom more, though. They can't tolerate their own kind.
There was a strangled sound from beside him, and he caught the king laughing into his wine.
Absolutely true, Stephen. Absolutely true.
The feast was exceptionally good, though Stavin limited how much he ate, and how much he drank. Wine had never been his first choice, but he wasn't going to be a plebeian and ask for beer. Along with the food was a wide assortment of entertainments. Minstrels strolled through the room playing and singing softly. Jugglers, dancers, and gymnasts gambled between the tables, and between them all were servants making sure no one went thirsty. Stavin made a pretense of drinking as much as Prince Jerlan, getting his cup refilled every time the prince did. The difference was that Stavin seldom needed more than a splash of wine to top off his cup. Prince Jelan, on the other hand, was usually close to dry by the time the servant came to his side again.